Okay. Call to order the regular meeting of the Oceana Community Service District Board of Directors for Wednesday. There I go again.
27th.
June 27th. Roll call, please.
Director Bernay?
Here.
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Colwell?
Lately here.
Vice President Austin?
Here.
And President White?
Here. Stand for the flag salute. Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, agenda review, please. Do we have any changes, amendments?
President White, members of the board, we have modified our recommendations in agenda item 8C. We have provided a modified staff report with the item that has been added to the disbursements. We have added a payment to SLO County Public Works Department for the CCWA revenue bond and fixed operation maintenances for state water for the 2018-19 year to be paid on July 2nd, so that in the next fiscal year. This adjustment will increase total cash disbursements from $706,899.44 to $862,927.21. And at the appropriate time, the recommendation would be for the approval of staff recommendations in item 8C as modified.
Thank you. Anything else? Entertain a motion?
I move we approve the agenda as amended.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Could I get a report out of closed session, please?
Report out of closed session from the last meeting?
I mean report as we go into closed session.
Okay. Would you like to take public comment on closed session first?
I would, seeing no one come forward, because there's no one here. Okay. I'll have you.
Then the board will adjourn to closed session pursuant to Government Code 54957.6, conference with labor negotiators, agency designated representative as the general manager, legal counsel, Director Colwell, and President White, employee organizations of the Service Employees International Union 620, and unrepresented management positions.
Thank you. ATV. This is going to be a longer night than we know. I'm sober. I haven't anything but one piece of pizza. Call the meeting back to order, 6 p.m., Oceana Community Service District. May I have a report out of closed session, please?
Out of closed session, there is no reportable action.
Thank you. Moving on, we now call for public comment for items not on the agenda. The public comment period provides the opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district that are not listed on the agenda. We ask that public comment be limited to 3 minutes. Anybody like to come forward? That's fine, Cynthia.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Replogle, the president of the Oceana Beach Community Association. I wanted to let you know about a couple of community cleanups that we're planning. The first one after the 4th of July to clean up the Independence Day mess at around the lagoon. That's going to be on July 7th, Saturday from 11 to 1. And right now we're just planning to pack out the trash and recyclables that we collect and take them home and throw them in our own trash and recycling, but if you could arrange for extra trash pickup or work with us on that, that would be great. The second one, just in the initial planning stages right now for International Coastal Cleanup Day, which is September 15th, we'd like to partner with the Surfrider Foundation and do a cleanup along Arroyo Grande Creek somewhere in the community. One access point that we have identified is at 22nd Street. So if you can help me with identifying who we should communicate with to make sure that we have permission to access that location and do a cleanup there. And also I understand there's a concern with homeless population down there, that there may be some dangerous items that we would not want to be involved in cleaning up. So I want to make sure that we coordinate with whoever we need to make sure that that's done safely. Thank you.
Thank you.
So coordination on 22nd Street, anything along Arroyo Grande Creek should be done through County Public Works. Nola Ingerskerger is most likely the individual to contact because the county has the easement from the private property owners for the creek maintenance and everything. So, and it's really important because there was a prior event maybe 4 years ago that had not been coordinated, and some of the neighboring property owners were not very happy about that one. So coordination through County Public Works. And again, I think it's Nola Ingelskerger, most likely the individual. Be glad to coordinate on some of the other events as well that are within Oceano. The board's adopted policies already provide us the ability to do that. And then on July 5th, as we previously mentioned to the board, the day after July 4th, staff, we're going to be going down the streets in Oceano to help make sure that the streets are cleaned up as well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, just checking in. I want to introduce another member of our group, Steve Deason. Vietnam veteran, one of the greatest human beings I've ever met.
Introduce yourself.
Darcy Badielli, from The Place over here. You might have heard of us. And just checking in to see possibly if you have discussed our proposal for the firehouse, and if not, when we could possibly expect a little bit of feedback from that. Possibly, would it be weeks, months, years? We're I didn't expect that to get a laugh. But we could have artists here. We've got one gentleman that was working. He's from the U.S., but he was working in Korea, and he has inquired about coming this summer. I just reached out to him yesterday to find out, you know, a little bit narrower time frame of what this summer means, but I think he has to be back to the U.S. for visa reasons, and that happens to a lot of people that go over, you know, over to other countries. And what I need to do is find places for these people to stay. And one of the things that we had presented was this upstairs of the firehouse possibly becoming a temporary residence for artists. I mean, they could work in the on our side of the street, but I do have to find residences for them at affordable rates. That's it. I just wanted to check in.
Okay.
And yeah. As your board knows, I've been out the last few weeks, and probably the best thing, Darcy, is for us to get back together as a next step next week.
Okay. You and I?
And Carrie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I think it's, you know, it's based on the general challenges of this type of an arrangement. I think it's unlikely that I'd be able to provide anything to the board that would be allow for residencies this summer.
Okay.
But and let's get together next week.
After that would be, I've got people talking about October, November, and then January, February. So whatever time frame, unless you can tell me that this is going to be years out, then I definitely need to explore other avenues.
Okay. So let's get together next week.
Okay,
then.
Perfect.
And Carrie, you'll help set that up?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Good. Damon Carver, Darcy and Steve. Since Darcy went over 3 minutes, I promise I'll be brief. Couldn't help but notice when I was working out on the corner a 5-ton truck last week that had paper shredding company written on the side. And I was curious if that indicated that some progress was going on with the files full of decades of paper that were going on, or if it was just a paper shredder who needed to hit the AA meeting at noon.
May have been both.
Yeah, I will fully accept the possibility of this.
And we have made the progress to the point where we've issued a purchase order to start doing some of the shredding activities. I need to get an update from Jennifer on what her status is complete, but certainly it's been substantial progress. There's just a lot of work to do there.
Yeah, we're aware of the fact that it's a ton of work.
Yeah.
At any rate, that's enough time. Thank you very much for hearing us out.
Thank you.
Always good to see you.
Yeah. Steve, you want to say anything?
I'm here right now.
Okay. Anyone else? Public comment? Seeing no one come forward, we'll move on to staff presentations and reports. I see that, yeah, Tony Arshino is next up.
Tony Marcino. All right. So to start this off, Lopez is currently at 49%, which is 24,203 acre feet. We had no SSOs in May. We're currently not receiving any state water. We are just receiving Lopez and offsetting by pumping. Year to date, since April 1st, we've received 86 acre feet from Lopez, and we've pumped 36 acre feet. So we've continued to do samples monthly, weekly, 24 work orders, 32 USAs, 16 customer service calls. We had 6 after-hour call-outs. The first one was off of Jetty. Residents took out a main, severed a main in half, and the county's involved. There's a lot of other people involved, but we got that repaired on site with a contractor had to come in because both other employees were off with family members, and it got taken care of same day, got it restored. Another one, there was a house that the plumbing broke. We had to go shut it off. Another house at Cienega, the customer side, the line was broke and leaking, so we shut that off so they could repair it. We had a Bell Ridge customer. A house valve was shut off in the afternoon on them. Don't know why or who, if there's kids there. We had to cover the IT to do some upgrades to the office. We also had a fire hydrant get hit on pier again. It was a multi-car collision and pushed the car in front into the hydrant. So that is our 6 call-outs. Casey and I attended a CWIS class, which was really, really good, how to self-evaluate the SSMP every 5 years, what kind of improvements, what to expect, how to, just more efficient with the SSMP. Jason and I also attended a reservoir or tank class regarding the interior and exterior of steel tanks, concrete tanks, the maintenance that's involved, the cost that's involved with tanks. Really informative also. You always pick up something from these classes. So as for the CCR, the customer CCR, I just drew a blank. Consumer confidence report. Sorry about that. That went out in the bills this last billing cycle. I don't know why I forgot it all of a sudden. We reinstalled the hydrant that got hit on Elm and Paso, raised the valve, concreted that in. We're continuing to clean sewer laterals, hot spots, quite a bit of trash pickup. As for CWIX, if you don't know what that is, it's California Integrated Water Quality System. So I just wanted to let you know what CWIX was, because I just kind of go through some of this a little quick. We're continuing to do jetting. First of the month, equipment runs, clean the lift station. Well 8 actually went down due to the electrical was tripping. So we had to run the other wells over the weekend. This was a couple weeks ago. And the power cord that goes into the main feed, when it heats up, it contracts and expands, and it actually loosened up over time. So we got that taken care of. Something new that's never happened to us in the last 6 years. AutoSys had to come out to the lift station. We had to replace the high-level float because it was failing when we tested it. So replace the high-level float. We also had to get the auto dialer reset with the 805 area code so it could call us, we found out real quick. Weed abatement at the yard, and currently Granite is starting on Air Park Bridge, so we've been assisting with a little bit of that because of the replacement of the manhole, bypass, just a lot of communication with the county, Granite, and everything's going really good. So I have a lot of confidence with the contractor or the lead on the project there. Good relationship so far.
Good.
Any questions?
Busy.
Yeah.
I have one. I understand that Monday they're going to start dewatering the lagoon.
So, correct. They started driving in the pilings today, and that's a process, yes. My understanding it should start Monday is as long as the pilings that go in to shore the water or keep the water out, yes, if that all goes well, that is correct.
Okay. I just think the public might be interested in seeing what the underneath of the lagoon.
On the Laguna Street, where you did the new line, it still has all of it. When will that be?
Correct. We've gotten one bid for that. The second bid, they did not do the county specs for the repaving, and we're supposed to get that by tomorrow, and we will get that taken care of as soon as possible.
Just curious.
Yes. It's been a little while. But.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes. Fire Chief is not here, but I'll throw out a little reminder on 4th of July fireworks. Safe and sane, please. Don't be crazy. And I know the fire department will be patrolling and watching for illegal fireworks. And when they find them, they take them away. End of commercial. Thank you, Mr. Ogren. You're next.
Madam President, members of the board. I've been out the past 2.5 weeks, and in stating that, I wanted to make sure to really compliment Carrie and the staff for getting this rather extensive agenda report together. But this is part of the new expectations of Oceano CSD. You know, part of the job over the last couple of years is turning the corner and getting the board in the right direction, and so I've made sure to compliment different members of staff as we've been seeing new achievements, and certainly this is a good milestone on what was put together. And in my absence, I did do some work on it, but again, a lot of credit to Carrie and the other support staff for getting this together. And I think that this is the type of effort that your board can continue to expect in the future from your staff. On the consent is the audit for this year, and certainly Carrie did 90%, or Carrie and Celia and Nicole did 95% of all the coordination with the auditor, which is just superb. Also under the consent agenda is the termination of the dispatch agreement with Grover Beach, and it's been coordinated with the other agencies. And 100% of that agenda item was put together by Carrie and others. So today, Carrie is going to lead all the business items. She is your business and accounting manager, and she'll I'll assist, but she's going to take the lead, and then I'll cover the hearing items. Also in the last 2.5 weeks, my daughter got married, so that was great. I announced my engagement, bought a house with my fiancé in Atascadero, and have been very busy, but glad to be back at work.
Thank
I'm glad
you.
To answer any questions.
Glad to have you back.
Glad to have
yeah,
you back.
Yeah, welcome back and congratulations on several fronts.
Yes. Okay, where do we go from here? Oh, we go to, do we have any more managers' reports, or is that, did you have a report? Okay, later. Okay. Not seeing anyone from the sheriff's substation, we'll move on to board of director reports. Director Angelo?
I don't have any, thank you.
Director Brené?
I have no committee reports.
Director Coldwell?
It was a real privilege for me to be part of the SIEU negotiation team. I think it went very well. Mostly, I think it's because we're very proud of our staff. And as Mr. Algren just mentioned, they performed so well. It was a real privilege to be part of that negotiation.
Okay, very nice. Oh, I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting, and we have hired our new administrator. His name is Jeremy Gint. He's coming from the County of San Luis Obispo Public Works Department, so he's has been running wastewater treatment plants in San Luis Obispo. So he'll be starting July 2nd, which is this coming Monday. So we're looking forward to that. And everything else is the redundancy project is moving along, and everything else is moving right along. Our next meeting would technically be July 4th. It's canceled, so it won't be till the following 2 weeks. And that's about it.
And I went to the last Five Cities Fire Authority meeting, and it was kind of just following up on all the processes we've already dealt with, so I would say that it was kind of routine. We can move on. And now I need to call for public comment on special presentations and reports. Seeing nobody come forward, we'll move on to consent items.
I reviewed it all.
I did too.
I don't think there's anything. I don't want to pull anything off. Anybody
else have anything?
Nope. Not I.
Going to be that routine. I'll entertain a motion. Yeah. Oh, yes. Public comment. Seeing no one come forward.
I would like to say one thing before we vote on it. I thought it was awesome, the fact that we got this audit done within the 12-month time period, because I remember that from a couple of years ago. So congratulations to all those.
Good job, Carrie.
Yes, Carrie.
Good job, Carrie.
All right.
Thank you.
Losing sleep.
Oh, and I'll also mention that there was no separate letter on internal controls. So as part of a normal audit, if an auditor has concerns about internal control procedures, they might comment on it, and they might give a variety of comments, like maybe it's a little item or something of more significant concern, but they provided no comment letter this year, which the implication is that they were satisfied with our system of internal controls.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll happily make a motion that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
No, that's modified.
It's modified with the cash disbursements, I'm sorry. Is item 8, agenda item 8C.
I'll second that.
Modified.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Okay. Moving on to business items. Do we want to take public comment individually?
I would recommend taking public comment on these as a whole.
Okay. Thank you. Then we'll just go on to public comment for items 8A, B, and C.
To clarify, Madam President, 9A, 9B, and 9C.
My glasses are back on my desk.
You didn't bring them.
I didn't bring them. Looks like an 8 to me. 9A, B, and C. Seeing no one come forward, we will.
Okay. So, President White, members of the board, they're all pretty quick, but I'm going to start with item A. 9A is to place charges and delinquencies on customers' 2018-19 property tax bills. The district has collected delinquent bills on property taxes for the past 7 years. The This year, the district isn't placing any customers on the tax roll, but we received a list from South County Sanitary Inc., the garbage company, of customers who haven't paid their trash bills. A sample letter went out to the customers, and it has been attached to your board packet, and is set July 11th as the hearing date for these customers. The hearing date was noticed in today's paper and will be noticed in July 5th's paper as well. And with that, we are happy to field any questions or comments.
We have, my only question would be, we have nobody, we've all the water.
So any water customer would have been a final customer, so they don't own the property anymore. It would have been someone who sold the property, and we would do, we were planning on doing writing off AR items that we wouldn't be able to collect on after the end of the year, which is June 30th.
Yes.
So all customers that are current with us have paid. That's pretty normal because we shut people off if they don't pay, so they tend to come in and pay.
Okay, thank you. So it's just the five people that failed to pay the garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we collect those funds through our county account and send those to South County Sanitary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Do we... Yes, we need action on that.
I'll make a motion that we receive and file a report on charges and delinquencies and to set a public hearing for July 11, 2018 to authorize collection on 2018-2019 property tax bills.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Thank you. Item 9B, the resolution consolidating the district's biannual election with the November 6, 2018 consolidated general election and detached notice to county election officers on the elective offices to be filed, map of district boundaries, and payment of candidate statements of qualification.
So, President White, members of
yes.
the board, item 9B, the resolution to consolidate the district's biannual election with the general election to be held November 6th. On page 38 of your packet, the county has provided the seats that are up for each district and for the term beginning December 7th of this year. On page 35, we have filled out the notice to the county to reflect the two seats that are up in our district. And with that, we will take any comments or questions. We tend to do this each year.
President White, I do... have
yeah.
something that will be very applicable to this.
Okay. You may have.
May.
Yes, you may, sir.
And it's an announcement I need to make because it will directly affect this that needs to go to the county. But after a lot of careful consideration and thought, a few months ago I actually sat down with President White and our general manager and let them know that at some point this year I would actually be stepping down from the board, mostly due to... career and job changes that literally happened right about the time that I started on this board, and it's been great. It was unforeseen to me at the time that I ran, but I finally had come to the decision that it was going to be best for myself, career-wise, and family specifically too. That priorities, I was going to need to step down. So, why it's tonight, though. I found out with the government code specifically because I have not yet met 50% of the duration of the term, as well as it's an election year, and I am announcing this over 130 days until the general election comes, that actually the remaining 2 years of my seat would be able to go back to the voters. And that was really important to me because, you know, I see this as it's not my seat, it's Oceano's seat. And I felt it would be disingenuous to me already knowing that I would be stepping down to wait, but that I need to make this decision now. So so I would make the recommendation that we put 1 2-year term under
okay.
there. So to be clear, too, at the conclusion of the meeting tonight, I will be stepping down.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're really going to miss you.
I would like to say a few other things at the end, but I know this is business time. So
yeah.
I'd like to have a little extra time
at the
end of our meeting.
We need to tonight's meeting?
I'm sorry?
I thought you were going to tonight's meeting?
Tonight's meeting will be the last one.
Your last meeting?
Mm-hmm. Oh. I commend you for your fairness, too. Yeah.
Thank you.
We would have had a cake.
It's been great working with you, Andrew.
Well, I haven't heard a second to his motion yet.
Was it a motion? He doesn't need a motion.
It's more of an announcement, but I guess we'll have to make a motion to modify.
But we're going to have to make a motion to amend our paperwork here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And again, I'd like to say a few things at the end of our meeting, but I have business to take care of.
So. Yeah. Okay, we need...
My recommendation would be to it's to adopt the resolution with modifications to reflect Director Brunet's resignation.
I would so move.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that we adopt the resolution of the Board of Directors setting the consolidated, putting the district in the consolidated general election of November 6th, and at the same time accepting Andrew Brunet's resignation. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
I apologize. As a resolution,
it has to have roll call vote. What am I thinking? Yes. Roll call vote, please.
Director Brunet?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Colwell?
Yes.
Vice President Austin?
Yes.
President White?
Yes.
And then, similarly, on the second recommendation, as modified to reflect Director Brunet's resignation. Your first action was to adopt the resolution. The second action is to direct me to file the notice with the county elections officer.
I so move.
I'll second.
It's moved and seconded. Roll call again.
Sure.
Roll call again.
Director Brunet?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Colwell?
Yes.
Vice President Austin?
Yes.
And President White?
Yes.
Thank you.
We're okay there. Okay. And we've got all the election stuff done. Item B is done. Item C, review of the 2017-28 budget status of June 30th, 2018, with the final budget adjustment and encumbrances to previously approved contracts.
President White, members of the board. We have item 9C, the review of the 2017-18 fourth quarter budget. Staff has prepared the report as of June 13th and then added the AP items that were approved in item HC to the expenses in the estimated 17-18 column to get the best estimate. The fourth quarter report is consistent with the previous reports, with the administrative fund running high since items were charged to the administrative fund, but we budgeted them throughout the operating funds. The preliminary two-year budget being considered by your board on item 10B, it has addressed this with the direct labor costs for the field crew being allocated out by their direct labor percentages calculated by their actual hours worked for the past 3 years. So that is addressed in the next budget. But this asks for a budget adjustment to address the admin expense of $58,000 funding the admin allocation. So that's the first budget adjustment for the fourth quarter. The second one is to increase reserves by $28,000 in the general fund. This is due to the budget adjustment that was made on March 14th for the emergency generator project for $85,000. The district was granted $36,000 through the Nuclear Power Preparedness Program grant and will cover the generator only, not the actual install costs. So The portion that we're not going to spend because of the grant will help increase the reserves there. But then we're also asking for cost increase to the fire fund of $20,000 for the fire service analysis report that will be presented in item 10A. Those are the two budget adjustments for the fourth quarter. Everything else was consistent with the budget, and the operating funds tracked consistently. The Exhibit A that we've attached to your board packet shows the current estimates for encumbrances, and the actual encumbrances will be included in the final adopted budget that will be presented on August 22nd to your board. So those are the items that would roll over to the next year based on approval from your board in this current year. So with that, if there's any questions from your board or comments.
Any questions or comments? No action required on that one?
The budget adjustments need approval?
Madam President, yeah, the two budget adjustments are necessary. Again, the first one is because the indirect costs associated with field crews have been charged to the admin budget, so we have to increase the admin budget. The operating budgets don't have to increase because those dollars will be paid through those costs will be paid through the admin allocations rather than line items within the budget. So it's neutral to the operating budgets, but still necessary to make sure the admin allocation is set right. And as Carrie mentioned, the new two-year budget has all the new admin allocations and indirect cost allocations in it. The second budget adjustment is that at your prior meeting, your board authorized me to execute a purchase order with Category 5, which is done, and it's part of a subsequent board item. But at that, what we didn't recognize at the time was that the budget savings, because of the grant, were in the admin budget, but Category 5 costs are in the fire fund. And so that second budget adjustment is necessary in order to do the reallocation from admin to the fire fund and to appropriately pay for the Category 5 work effort.
Okay.
So I'd move that we approve the budget statuses with those two amendments.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. I think my paperwork is fine. Well, no, I can see. I'm just too stupid to know what I'm doing. I should say that publicly. It appears tonight that I'm too stupid to figure out what I'm doing, but I'm sorry. We're moving on to 10A and B, which are two hearing items. Call for public comment on the hearing items, or do we want to take them separately?
Yeah, so hearing items, we need to take public comment
separately.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, starting with 10A, a public hearing to consider adopting a resolution to place a measure on the ballot for the November 6, 2018 consolidated general election for voters within district boundaries to decide whether to approve a special tax for fire and emergency services pursuant to California Constitution, Article 13A. And we will start. Do you want?
Madam President, I'll start.
With the report.
Yeah,
thank you.
So,
thank you.
Madam President, members of the board, today to help with the presentation is Bob Newman with Category 5 Consultants. Bob was previously the fire chief for the city of San Luis Obispo and has been working on fire operations and emergency responses throughout the nation for several years now. In leading into my comments, first is the reminder that in January of this year, we started to address the budgetary impacts of Five Cities Fire Authority. Those first were discussed out in the Five Cities Fire Authority's agendas in November and December, and your board had some discussion, but it was in January that I had prepared a pretty in-depth report on possible changes in Five Cities Fire Authority that we might be seeing in 2018. And at that time, I indicated to your board and made the commitment that if necessary, the district would be prepared to call for a special tax election in November. And consistent with that commitment, staff has done the work and has worked with consultants in order to make sure that your board is in a place where you can call for an election. But tonight is the question of whether you should do so. And so the staff report addresses a number of issues. Again, I'm going to make some general comments, and then Mr. Newman will follow up. But in summarizing what we have done and working with legal counsel, attached are resolutions and ordinances that can be considered. One is based on per parcel charges, which is the Cambria approach. And the second one was based on land use, where the amount of the tax for any particular property would vary depending on its land use. And that is the Los Osos example. I do want to mention that in order to do land use evaluations, we coordinated with both Supervisor Compton's office as well as the County Assessor's office, and we got a download of every parcel in Oceano with what its existing land use is and a lot of detailed criteria involved in that. And Celia went property by property both to compare consistency with our water records, as well as to actually having to do some additional calculations based on square footage of commercial structures and other details. So she spent, you know, some good time doing that. I've reviewed her work and felt like it was in a good status to be able to make recommendations to your board if you want to proceed. Now, what you'll notice is both that the notices, the resolutions and the ordinances have blanks in there, and I'll talk a little bit about what the options are for your board tonight. But in addition to working with legal counsel on the ordinances and the resolutions and the county assessor's office and Supervisor Compton's on land use information, I'm also attached are two activity schedules that were provided by the county clerk's office. Elena Cano was very helpful on that. And what those two different activity schedules illustrate is the timing associated with the subsequent activities, if your board were to make call for the measure tonight or on July 11th. Then there would be a bunch of subsequent calling for arguments for, which your board would be able to do arguments against. But there's a number of steps that follow an announcement to call for an election. And so the county clerk has given us timelines on whether your board called for it tonight or called for it on July 11th. Again, Bob Newman with Category 5 has provided a report on options, and he'll speak to those in a moment. But in addition, since January, two really significant efforts have made some progress. First was with Five Cities Fire Authority, the memorandum of agreement that all the agencies, including your board, have adopted in order to develop a negotiation process, including deadlines, so that all three agencies can meet and work on what will the future of Five Cities Fire Authority be. The second is the county's development of their strategic plan, and a few weeks ago, a number of board members attended and spoke in support, their modification of the strategic plan to include a component addressing unincorporated areas that are the CSDs. There's five different communities that the county wants to address. How might they provide fire services if it becomes necessary? So that county strategic planning effort, we previously characterized as a blue ribbon committee. And initially when the Board of Supervisors agreed to take Cayucas Fire into underneath their organization, the board gave staff direction, county staff direction, to form a blue ribbon committee to address the other unincorporated areas. After county staff worked on it, they came back with modified recommendations to the Board of Supervisors to provide work on a strategic plan. And so added, I handed out, and there's additional handouts on the table, is a letter that we have with County Cal Fire Chief Jalbert inviting us to participate in the strategic planning efforts that are coming forward. And certainly Vice President Austin has already been appointed as an ad hoc committee representative on this issue, and so I'll be working with Vice President Austin in following up with the county to make sure that we're participating in their strategic planning efforts. And I mention all of this because when it really comes down to it, I'm just not compelled to recommend that we proceed, that your board proceeds with the special tax election in February. In November. And that we wait till. The primary thing is the Five Cities Fire Authority negotiations and the county strategic planning efforts, they won't be concluded until after November. And the conventional wisdom is that if we go out for a tax election, it's really important to show individuals in the community what the dollar amount is and what the services are that they're going to get, or what's the alternatives if the special tax measure doesn't get approved by the voters. And the challenge is that there are so many unknowns today that we don't know what the results of Five Cities Fire negotiations are going to be. We don't know what the results of the county negotiations are going to be. And we'll be very hard-pressed to give definitive answers to members of the public on what a yes or a no vote might be. Certainly, we know that over the five-year horizon of strategic planning effort, that the district is unable to fund the 5 years. We know that as Five Cities Fire is ramping up the costs over the first and second year, we do have sufficient reserves to pay for that. It's a challenge because those will be some, you know, costs to the district. But nevertheless, the issue right now is even though we've done our work in order to prepare for a special tax election, those dollar amounts to fill in those blanks would be very difficult to determine without having more of the issues unfold that we can certainly anticipate will be coming forward. We are committed to Five Cities Fire Authority for 18-19. The Five Cities Fire Authority agreement could terminate on December 31st, 2019. The city managers and I have already the authority under the MOA to extend that until June 30th of 2020, provided that negotiations are proceeding in a good faith effort. So it's well within the realm of possibility to hold an election in June of 2020. And the idea is that the negotiations then would be subject to a successful tax election in June of 2020. The idea is that we would definitely be working with the community about the issues and doing a lot of outreach, especially as we move forward with Five Cities Fire negotiations and with the county strategic planning efforts. And the bottom line is I think it will be a much better and a well-informed decision for community voters in June of 2020. There's also the possibility that things morph a little bit. There's always been that discussion about should an independent fire protection district be formed. It's really hard to put any estimate of predictability about that, but I know it's been discussed with the cities. So as we meet with the cities and we move forward, it might be that something else morphs and comes out of it. I just am really concerned that with the inability to provide definitive answers to the questions that we can anticipate, that we'll be going down an extremely challenging road. And some of that's illustrated in the staff report where I went through and I researched the 10 special tax elections that have been held in California in 2018, where six failed, four passed. Out of the four that passed, the most significant one, and this is on page 76, Fallen Leaf Lake CSD, there's only 24 voters there. And so that's the type of situation where property owners and voters know exactly what they're getting into. And at $660 a year for a single-family residential unit and an 80% yes vote on that, clearly that was a unique situation with a small number of voters. So if we exclude that, that means 3 out of 9 passed, 6 out of 9 failed. It's also interesting that only one Shasta Lake Fire Protection District did not get 50% of the vote. right? So it's the challenge is between 50% requirement and the two-thirds requirement. At this point, and prior to going with Mr. Newman's presentation, legal counsel is going to speak briefly on some recent court case and some pending ballot item in November as well.
President White, directors of the board. So in looking at these issues with PAVO over the last month, I was doing some research on special tax elections and came across a Supreme Court case that was decided in late August of 2017, so just about 6-8 months ago. And in this case, it was the California Coalition, California Cannabis Coalition versus the City of Upland. The Supreme Court of California held that initiatives brought by, you know, by signature gathering initiatives brought to the ballot as opposed to agencies bringing things to the ballot. Citizen brought issues, initiatives do not require two-thirds a vote to pass. They only need a simple majority. And the court distinguished that because that's under Prop 218 where it requires two-thirds for any agency brought measures to the ballot. And the court reasoned that 218 only applies to local governments and it does not apply to citizen brought initiatives. Now, in response to that, it appears that this the signatures haven't been fully vetted, but it looks like there's going to be initiative now on California's November ballot that would essentially overturn the Supreme Court's decision in Upland and require all measures brought to the voters require a two-thirds supermajority vote. So that creates a little more uncertainty as well, because if that measure, the initiative passes in November, and then we have a new law that two-thirds is required for all ballot votes on special taxes, well, then we're in the same place we are now. However, it fails, it does afford the opportunity to have a citizen-brought initiative of this special tax, which would require 50% passage rate to enact the special tax. And, of course, looking at what the statistics that Pablo has shown on page 76, all but one of the local special tax elections reached 50%. So it creates lowers the bar and increases significantly increases the ability for local communities to raise taxes. So that's another thing that we will know after November that we just don't know sitting here today. So.
And with that, I'd like to turn the microphone over to Bob Newman with Category 5.
Good evening, Madam President and members of the board. Bob Newman, Category 5. And before I start into the options that I explored, I thought maybe I'd just take a few moments and talk to you in general about what is happening here in the fire service and the county. And the simple reality is the county is getting a bit larger and our demographic is getting older. So it's those two things alone are having a significant impact on our fire services. Additionally, many of the smaller departments have relied on reserve programs to make themselves function, just as Five Cities Fire Authority, Atascadero, Pismo Beach, Cambria, and those programs in more of the urban setting are getting harder and harder to maintain, if you will. They do work in the rural areas quite well, but what typically happens is the smaller fire departments train the reservists, they become experienced, and they become candidates for the larger cities to poach away. And that's what's occurring here. Again, it happens in communities like served by Five Cities, Atascadero, Pismo Beach, not so much though in the rural areas where people don't have a tendency to get that valued experience that the firefighters can then take to the bigger cities. So the other thing that I wanted to chat a little bit about here, and I think I put it in my report a couple of different ways, it's really difficult to compare fire service costs without a really strict analysis of the levels of service. It is so very difficult, whether you're talking Five Cities Fire Authority or whether you're talking CAL FIRE, to actually talk apples to apples versus apples and oranges. And as I expressed there, CAL FIRE, a very, very good fire department, real good provider, but they're hesitant to talk about, you know, costs without actually knowing what's to be expected, and we can all understand that. So as we look at all those costs, I thought I would explore all the various things that were available to you. And so I think I'll start with my David Letterman top 10, if you will, but I'm going to start at the bottom. And so the one that I think is just the one that is not viable at all is to reinstate the Oceano Fire Department as a standalone. It would just be prohibitively expensive. The liability is dramatic. I just can't bring myself to even think that you would consider that. Then I look at anything to do with closing this fire station here, the Oceano Station. So that includes items 3, 6, and 7, or options 3, 6, and 7. And, you know, when you think about closing this fire station here and you think about the way the community is laid out with the railroad tracks and the travel times and the reaction times of the current fire stations, the thought of closing this station and not having response out of here is very troubling. I don't think the public would stand for it. The travel times to, you know, and it doesn't make any difference who would be the provider, whether it would be CAL FIRE or whether it would be Five Cities Fire Authority. They can't operate from some location like this one here. The travel times are dramatic, up into the 8-minute range to the mobile home park out there, Rancho Del Arroyo. And if you think about where we typically respond to, it is to mobile home parks, isn't it, for the medical calls because of the age demographic. So travel times to there, for example, from the Grover Station, should you close here, 8 minutes. From the Mesa Station up on the hill, you know, 12 minutes. From Pismo Beach, should you strike some sort of a deal there, again, a relatively dramatic travel time. So that brings us then to some sort of an arrangement whereby you contract. And that's where we looked at options number 5 and number 8. And again, CAL FIRE is an excellent provider, could be very cost effective here. But essentially what happens in number 5 is you really don't have a voice. And so number 5 is the one where we, you know, just basically, somebody refresh my memory, what is number 5?
Divest and contract with the Five Cities.
Contract back to Five
contract
Cities.
Contract back to CAL FIRE.
Yes, so you really don't, in contracting directly to CAL FIRE, you do have a voice for your level of service. But in number 8, if you were to just divest the whole thing and give it to the county, you would no longer have any sort of a voice. But I think, as Pablo very adequately explained, even since I started writing this report, this has been a changing situation. The letter that Pablo just recently received, even inviting you to the Blue Ribbon Commission, and by the way, it's changed now. It was originally a committee, now it's a commission. And so this situation is very fluid. So at any rate, so what we get down to really are two options left, and basically those are to stay with the Five Cities Fire Authority. And by the way, Five Cities Fire Authority is really, and this wasn't part of my charge, but as a firefighter, I just couldn't help but resist, you know, kind of taking a peek at how that system operates. And it is a really good system. It's good bang for your dollar. Very excellent provider, good leadership, good response times. And I'm not saying that CAL FIRE couldn't do it as well, but I'm just saying that CAL FIRE is not in the neighborhood. Five Cities Fire Authority is the neighborhood, so to speak. So, number two is continue to make an arrangement with Five Cities Fire Authority to staff this house with 2 people, okay, which is problematic in as much as that it has impacts when that 2-person engine company goes out the door here to answer a call in Oceano. Anything but the most mundane call, that engine company captain is going to request a backup. So then that backup is going to come out of Grover or Arroyo Grande, diminishing their level of service. So that's going to be sort of a sticking point in negotiations with those folks. And then obviously number 1 is the best
in my opinion, you know, just to follow the recommendations of the five-year strategic plan. The problem is how do we pay for it? Initially, you know, I was, especially after the Cambria experience, and I was real involved with the Cambria folks up there helping them, you know, move that forward. And we were real disappointed when that didn't go. I just don't, you know, I can't predict what that would be like here, but I think it's going to be a challenge. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have for me.
I have one. You know, I see CAL FIRE, and just the reason the Oceano Fire Department was created was because CAL FIRE could not get there in a timely manner. It wasn't that they couldn't put out the fires when they got there, but they couldn't get there in a timely manner. And I see anything that goes backwards to that continuing the challenge. And I just don't see where, you know, if CAL FIRE would put a truck in Oceano, I can see it serving the beach and serving Oceano and increasing their mileage. But I just can't see it happening any other way. And I, you know, and that's just my opinion. And maybe you can talk about some more about the time issue.
Sure. And that's option number five, would be to actually contract with CAL FIRE, have them staff this fire station. And that is doable, except it's difficult to predict what that would cost, but you can expect that in order to oversight a whole group of new CAL FIRE folks here could potentially be more expensive than what Five Cities Fire Authority is already doing for you. Plus, you really don't have any voice as to, or you have a more of a limited voice with CAL FIRE contract versus, your board member sitting directly on the Five Cities Fire Authority board. So I really don't know that one makes much sense. But if they didn't staff here and if they responded off the mesa, you're talking 12-minute response times to the FAR, and then that's just unacceptable. Potentially, one of our options talks about, you know, closing this or amending the current Pismo Beach CAL FIRE contract. This gets a little bit confusing because if you think about county fire since 1934 has been provided service by CAL FIRE. They're the contractor. Now, all of a sudden, here maybe 10 years ago, South Bay Fire Department, a special district, was no longer able to manage. So they went to CAL FIRE and they formed their own relationship, okay, away from the county.
Yeah.
Now, Pismo did the same thing. Now, what really, and then of late, there's been trouble in Templeton, you know, some issues here, not issues, but, you know, a concern here. And then with Cayugas handled this a little differently. They went to LAFCO and they said, we want to divest. We're no longer interested in having fire service being in our mission. And LAFCO has tentatively approved that, and I believe on July 5th they will actually make that formal arrangement. So now CAL FIRE, when they start to look at all these, you know, sort of subcontracts around, if you will, you've got to think that they think to themselves, you know, let's county as your contractor, let's come up high flyover with this blue ribbon commission and take a look at how we might do this differently.
Yeah.
County is actually funding out of general fund money for fire protection in the community of Cayugas. That is new, and that just now is occurring.
Yeah.
So it's, as your general manager indicated, this whole thing is a bit of a moving target right now.
Which would be a really good reason for us not to call for a tax issue at this time.
That would be my problem.
I just have a question. You mentioned, like, the Five Cities Fire Authority is already in the neighborhood. Could you kind of expand on what benefit it is for a community like Oceano to continue with the agency that is familiar and works in the community, rather than bringing in someone new that, I mean, what kind of benefit it has for having the fire department you already have?
Well, it's kind of like local government. You know, I think we all believe that the best government is local government, and the best fire service is your local fire service, which is not to say that Cal Fire could not bring in folks locally, just like they've done in Pismo Beach, mm-hmm. Just like they've done in South Bay. Those Cal Fire folks, some of them live right there in those communities. But again, you don't really have as much of a voice, do you, when you actually sit on the board of the Five Cities Fire Authority and you can make those decisions? That's, you know, in my opinion, the best it can be. Mm-hmm. I mean, those, certainly your local firefighters serving your local community.
Mr. Newman, you undoubtedly know that our statistics here in Five Cities Fire Authority, they're 2.3% of our calls are fire.
Right.
Why aren't we hiring nurses or EMTs? Don't we need a whole different look at the fire department, separate and distinct from emergency services? To what extent are we supplementing ambulance services because we use our firemen for that?
So I do happen to bring a little expertise to that. I currently serve on the board of the EMSA, the Emergency and Medical Services Agency. I am the chair here in the county of our trauma committee, and I served as the executive director of the EMSA, Emergency and Medical Services Agency, for a period of time. So I understand completely your question about medical service. And the model that we currently use is one of the best going, because we get firefighters out the door in a hurry, okay, followed up by an advanced life support unit right here locally in the community. But your firefighters are able to get there hopefully within 3 to 4 minutes, sometimes up into, you know, that 5 minute range, to actually make those initial take those initial actions to either oxygenate or stop bleeding. So the model that we're under right now works well, given the fact that fire is still a threat. But currently, you know, the way that industry delivers our EMS is pretty darn good. Our firefighters are all trained, our crews are staffed.
Well, then why aren't we just saying we're here to provide medical treatment on a timely basis? And occasionally, 2% of the time, we'll go to a fire.
Well, and basically, that's what we do.
I know, but why aren't we a nurses association rather than a fire department? It's too expensive.
Well,
it's too expensive.
It is very expensive.
It is. Yeah. Why are local communities? We're not even a city. We're a district within the county. We don't get any medical premiums. We don't get any medical reimbursements. We pay boxcar prices for good firemen, for equipment that is way beyond what's needed for an aspirin or helping somebody off the floor. And yet that's the vast majority of our services to the community. Something's wrong.
If I were king, I would redesign the system. It would look a little differently than it does now. But I still clearly understand that the fire service has a really important role in being able to get to someplace within 5 minutes.
Well, but that's historical. We could, as a community, develop a medical service that's there faster than the firemen can put their uniforms and equipment on and get out the door. That could be done. It's just not favorable to the jurisdiction of fire departments.
I think you need to think of your firefighters as being different than just simply firefighters.
Well, I know it absolutely.
Yeah, they're
2% firemen. Well, are they not?
If I could interject, Director Colwell, and certainly, when we look at those particular statistics, it compels, you know, a different approach to thinking about the industry. Part of the challenge, though, is that we still have to staff the firefighters. And so we're still going to be paying for a fire crew, even if the responses to fires is infrequent. And because we have to staff, what the industry has developed is to make sure that they can fill a secondary role as well. And we've seen that evolving significantly. I've seen it evolving significantly during the course of my career. But the idea is that we have historically funded fire departments, and now we've asked them to do a second job as well because the firefighting is infrequent. So the challenge that you're speaking to is the funding side, right? Because if it was purely a medical responses and then we would expect reimbursements from insurance companies or whomever, that's great, but how do we establish the staffing for those types of medical units when we don't have a cash flow? It's not to invalidate your line of thinking, because I think your line of thinking is very valid when we look at the staffing. But in moving to that model, what happens is there's a whole new set of challenges that we would have to deal with, which the industry knows very well, and why we're in the model that we're in right now.
But does that justify demanding the funding from our local community simply because we can't do it, or simply because we don't want a different model, or simply because this is the way it's been? I don't know if that's the an appropriate rationale to make the demands from this community. Well, for these kinds of services.
And I wholeheartedly agree that there is nobody in the district who has spoken with the tone of demanding funding from the community. The idea is it is a community vote. It's part of the state constitution. That's how we work in California. And legal counsel explained that there is right now, and whether it's changed in November or not, there's a different, whether it's a voter initiative, which requires 15% of the registered voters to go out, or you got to get a petition from 15% of the register, versus if your board will call for an election, then it would require two-thirds. And the key here, though, is it's not demanding anything from the community, but simply making sure that the community is well-informed of a decision that really is their decision. And the challenge that I have, and even thinking about it for November, is how well are we even informed right now as to the options under Five Cities Fire? What might, you know, the county take with the CAL FIRE approach? Those are the things that we've been successful in initiating, right? This district is the one that initiated the MOA discussions with our two neighboring systems. This district is the one that went to the Board of Supervisors and made the arguments in favor of a Blue Ribbon Committee, in which they follow through. So I think we've done as best as we can to get the ball rolling on some of the different options for the community, but we just don't have enough answers right now for them to make a well-informed decision in November.
And I certainly agree. We don't have good answers. In spite of good consultants and the cost of studies and all, we don't have good answers. And one of the reasons we don't, Five Cities Fire Authority ignored all of our requests for over a year. They didn't even want to look at it. We were not able to establish a dialogue. We weren't able to establish any meaningful exchange of information because it was the fire authority that dragged their feet.
Well, but whatever else we do, we still have to have a fire department. We still have to have 8, 10, 12 people on the ground who can put out a fire before it burns half of downtown. Well, so, when you have to have them for a fire, you have to have them. And they got to come from somewhere, and they got to come quick.
I don't pretend to have all the answers.
No, but I'm just saying, so even if you don't do medical, you still, because you forget that part of the medical, they're not just doing medical, they're doing accidents. They're doing people who are trapped. They're dealing with hazardous material spills. And God help us if the ice plant over here decides to go crazy like it has in the past where we have ammonia leaking. There's a lot of different hazards that aren't medical that we have to have a fire department for. So it's more than 2%. It's not a lot.
Yeah, it's 2.34%. But in any
fires.
And Karen, one of the main reasons we have the five cities' strategic plan calling for 3 or 4 firemen per engine is because of medical. Because if you have only 2 firemen putting out a fire, there's nobody there to address the other issues.
Well, but you have to have 4 firefighters before you can really put out a fire. But
well,
it takes 3 people for CPR. It takes 4 people to even begin to fight a fire. And some of these are safety things and some of the regulations. But however you figure it, somehow you have to staff somebody to put out the fires. So you might as well have them do everything else.
And
I mean, that's my view, but that's, you know.
And I guess while it's not a perfect model, the model that we have right now serving all of the county is a pretty darn good one.
We have
a good relationship with a private provider in San Luis Ambulance Company who is backfilling on a cost basis fire crews right now. That goes on. That's part of the contract that they work under. We have ambulance rates that reflect that. You know, they're within a proper range, I guess you could say. So we have a pretty good model. Especially, as President White says, you just are going to need that sort of standing army, if you will, for hazardous materials, spills, floods, earthquakes, fires, all the things that that standing army is there for. So I will defend the fire service. Like I say, if I were king,
do it well.
I might, if I were king, I might design it a little differently. But you know, here we are today.
Mr. Newman, I don't disagree with what you're saying at all, and I think it is a good service. In fact, some people appropriately call it a great service. Dang, it's expensive. And I don't know if we should be strapping our people with all of these costs. If we look at the per capita cost to our people in Oceano, it's disproportionate.
But actually, sir, your per capita fire costs
yes.
are not bad at all. I think they're like
$104.
$116. Yeah. And you look at the neighboring communities. Now, per capita brings its own issues.
And the proposals are that we end up paying more than our 2 partners in the five cities authority per capita.
And I believe that's true. Negotiation. Well, I don't know about that. But in general, your per capita fire costs are very reasonable.
Well, in the proposal here, the 1-year strategic plan, Oceano is $148.83. Now, if that's an increase from 103, that's an increase of over 35% in 1 year. Mm-hmm. And that's the first cheap year of a 5-year plan. Yikes. Yikes.
I'm really interested to see, this is my personal opinion, I'm really interested to see what is going to come out of the Blue Ribbon Commission.
I am too. And I'd like to see a lot more progress than, unfortunately, we've enjoyed. And we've tried for a long time without any reciprocation, it seems to me. I mean, I'm willing to be wrong, but that's what it seems like. I've said enough.
Yeah, anyway, anybody else? Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would like to say a few things. I definitely see where you're coming from. Jim, and specifically, I think Mr. Newman, you're alluding to it as well. The model, it's an outdated model, but we're taking it, and making it as effective and efficient as possible. I think is what the kind of where we're at today, and it's kind of goes back to President White. You were saying we have to be emergency services has to be prepared for the worst possible situation, which for the most part is going to be a fire when you're looking at, you know, it's a very narrowed skill set that those individuals have to have in order to do it. While it's 2.37% of the time, You know, that's the worst case scenario that comes up, and you got to be prepared for it to be able to get there quickly and to be able to handle it effectively. But I wanted to ask specifically, and I don't remember what you'd said, did you work with Cambria or Cayucas?
Cambria.
So
strictly on a volunteer basis.
Okay.
Strictly help those folks out.
So with your background and then in working with Cambria, which failed, looking back with your expertise and everything, what were one or two of the reasons why you'd say that that initiative failed? Was there anything that if you were to go back on, research-wise, communication, buy-in from community, what would it be that you would...
I think the difficulty that they faced there was the large number of vacant properties and second or vacation homes. You know, property owners just right. Not, you know, just not there.
We don't have any of those.
Same problem
then,
we could
and,
have.
An elderly demographic there that is, let's face it, that's a relatively well-to-do community. But I think that elderly demographic there is a little resistant to new taxes. Mm-hmm. I sat through a number of the community meetings, and they, as hard as the firefighters work, the firefighters on their time off, the labor union, you know, really worked hard to get that to pass, and they just couldn't muster the votes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I appreciate that. I think that's which goes back to staff recommendations, you know, and looking at nobody likes taxes. Nobody does. Nobody wants more money taken out of their paycheck or on their property tax bill or anything. Nobody wants that. But I think specifically when you look at Oceano and something else that's been in this report, you know, we have major infrastructure costs coming up as well. But when you look at that, why? Well, it's because they're 50 years old. I mean, it's old stuff that has to be fixed. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can just, well, you know, you just keep putting it off because we have to patch it. Tony can tell us all about that. Do we have to do it? Eventually, we're going to have to get to the point. It's going to cost money. Eventually, you're going to have to do it at some point in time. And I think the emergency service is the same sort of way. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the model that we have. It's the best one that we're trying to do. And, you know, we can go, like you said, I thought that was a good point. The representation we would have, the voice that we would have, that I think will be the biggest probably question to the voters that we'll have to ask as a community is how much of a voice do we want? Do you want that direct link or do you want to just have it taken care of? That'll be the cheapest route. But I think it's going to be a community discussion decision. Having more time, I think, would be the most prudent thing to do.
Andrew, doesn't that start with how much of a voice do we have now?
True.
I mean, for over a year, we've been trying to express ourselves.
Yeah.
But it seems like, I don't know if it's deaf ears or improper communication. I don't know.
Yeah. Because it sounds like we did express ourselves quite a bit over the past year, right?
Yeah,
it seemed
we
like
have.
It.
Well,
we tried to be helpful and even polite.
Well, the fruits of labor sometimes blossom in different ways. And it's certainly true that the cities did agree to the MOA, mm-hmm. and they agreed to a clear negotiation process with some, you know, real clear deadlines associated with it as well. As Director Colwell has mentioned, I've had some frustrations with working with the cities, but now we do have an established process. And just like Director Cole has posed many questions of why are we doing things a certain way and why is it getting expensive, those are the same questions that the public, the community, is going to ask. And that's why I'm not compelled to recommend proceeding in November, because we have to work through the negotiation process, I believe. We have to participate and fully engage with the county and their Blue Ribbon Commission process so that we'll have the best answers that we can have for the community of Oceano.
One thing I was going to say, James, you said it was very expensive, but the addition to my property tax to pay for my fire service would be less than 1 month's PG&E bill. I have my own water well. So my electric bill would be more for 1 month And I wonder about people's cell phones. If they might be higher for 1 month than this would be for a total year of knowing that when you call 911, someone would come rapidly.
That's so, probably a good argument.
I mean, to me, that's a good argument.
Yeah, that's a really good argument.
I can't use cell phones because I don't have one because they're too expensive. I can't afford, I don't need a cell phone, let's put it that way. But I do need my PG&E, and I also
well,
do have to pay.
And from a dollar and cents perspective, at such point in the future, some voters will look at what's going to be my increase in fire insurance versus what's the increase in special taxes. I just happened to, I mentioned earlier, bought a house in Atascadero. It was one of the first 200 colony homes that were built. It was moved in 2005, new electrical, new plumbing, everything, you know, was completely renovated with sprinklers in it. I first got my first fire insurance quote. I almost had to call for emergency medical help.
we're a long ways away.
And I said, they said, well, it's a 1916 house. And I said, no, I got all the permits. It's been completely renovated. They said, oh, that's a different story. I mean, literally the fire insurance costs were less than half of my original quote. And so the question really becomes, one of the questions becomes for a community is, it can become a trade-off. You know, am I going to be paying more to the insurance companies, or am I going to be paying more for direct, you know, fire and emergency medical response? And that's an important question that we have to be able to answer down the road as well.
Well, I think so. And a couple of things. As Karen mentioned, you know, it doesn't seem like all that much. Possible increase in property taxes, but it is an increase over the property tax, no question about it. But the other thing to Andrew's earlier point about our other utility infrastructures in water and sewer, some people think the necessity of water is almost as important as protection of fire. I don't know.
Well, your water system is typically designed as a fire system first, and if Tony's in the room, you can back me up on this. So your water system is designed as a fire system first and a water system.
I know, but what happens when it all blows to hell?
Well, then you don't have any fire protection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We could have great firemen.
Yeah. Well, wet stuff puts out red stuff. Remember that.
Yeah.
So without good water, I think Pablo can appreciate that as the next public works.
Well, I appreciate it, and it scares me, because our water infrastructure is in real trouble. And if we go 5 years down the road where we're $800,000 in the red for fire authority, and we've spent our reserves along the way, we've already committed to the next year and a half of fire department at these expensive rates, at deficit spending. We're spending deficit on fire, and that's taking away from infrastructure and every other service that this community needs.
I understand.
Can we do that at an accelerated rate for 5 years? No, I don't. We can't.
Yeah, I know.
We can't do it.
I don't think we're going to.
Well, I don't think we can.
Well, the MOA kind of spells out that it's not going to go that far.
Oh, I mean, correct. I mean,
But the fire department is, and basically, it sounds like they're going to do it in spite of us, regardless of us.
I don't know that they all agreed to the MOA. I mean, we're talking.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, you know, there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee in writing that the Five Cities Fire Authority is going to continue for 5 years. I mean. We don't know that it might morph into something else. It might change into a private fire district. It might all go with the economy going. I mean, who knows? We can't go 5 years out. We can only go 2 years, which is where our MOA is, I think.
And
that's my opinion.
And we do know that the cities are also facing fiscal constraints. Even though some of their discussions with us have seem to indicate that Oceano is the only one who has financial challenges. We know that that's not the case. So as we go into the negotiation process with the two cities, They're going to be equally motivated to make sure that costs are controlled at Five Cities Fire Authority. We've all acknowledged that we do not expect that the full implementation of the strategic plan will be possible. Even in Chief Lieberman's five-year projections, he has left out a number of the strategic plan elements because he simply recognizes that as we move forward, we're going to have to look at cost controls as well. So the options today for your board are, one, we work some more and we figure out the dollar amounts that we want to fill in on one of the resolutions and ordinances, and you call for the election today. Two is you continue the item till July 11th. Give me some direction on how you might want me to work on filling in those blanks. Or three, you simply take no action, and then that will leave us working on the existing direction. And that existing direction, again, is working with the two cities and Five Cities Fire Authority underneath the JPA and the future of the JPA. And secondly, working with the county through their Blue Ribbon Commission. So, again, if no action is taken, then I'll continue to work with Vice President Austin in her capacity on the ad hoc committee on those two other work efforts.
I think we need to continue working. I'm not really willing to commit tonight. I'd rather see an earlier election than a postponed election. But again, what do we have to offer the people so they can make a decently reasoned decision? I don't know that we can get the information to give them the basis for a reasoned decision.
No, we don't.
But I don't know that we'd be able to do that by 2020 either.
Well, both of those processes will certainly be concluded by 2020. So
yes,
we're going to have a lot more information than we have today. And whether that means there's a brand new model or not, can't promise that, Director Colwell, but
yeah,
certainly I think there will be a lot of, all the agencies are committed to addressing this issue.
And before we leave this, we need to have public comment.
Yeah. I got to ask a question.
Oh, go ahead. Keep.
Is it inappropriate for me to make any comment at this time on this subject?
You mean with regard to Five Cities Fire overall?
Yeah.
I think it's fair game for broad range of discussions, yeah.
Okay. Oh, I just didn't want to, stir that pot. I have recently had a fire, and the Five Cities Fire Department came out, which my son is a firefighter with that agency. He wasn't on call. And they got the house put out before it caught fire to the other two houses on the side. Gets down at the beach, so you have 6 feet between homes. They also were able to contain it. It had a lot of damage. Some areas, I've got downstairs portion of a part of it, need to be cleaned up. They got there and they got it put out pretty quickly. And the other issue that I see with the fire department, if you have to call for help for an ambulance, call 911, which I had to do this last year with my sister-in-law. The fire department came, and they were there. They got her ready to go, and they were waiting for the ambulance to come to pick her up and take her. So without that effort, she was unconscious. She may have passed away. The problem I have is, yes, it's expensive. But we have a really huge population of seniors. Now, if they have a delay for someone to come in and help them, they fall, a lot of them fall. But if they're in serious dire and we have to wait for the ambulance service to get there, 9 times out of 10, probably 10 out of 10, the fire department can beat them there. Because you don't know for sure what's going on with the ambulance, because they've got all these other issues that they have to take care of, not just responding to that. I would hope to see that we can work out something, because I think it's going to be a real detriment if we don't have a fire department that can respond faster than the ambulance can. We have a lot of senior people here, and I think it's imperative that we can try to keep it going. I understand it's too expensive, I think there could be some negotiations and cost estimates and things like that, and the funding that could be provided. And a lot of it's going to come up to the voters. You know, if you want to be assured that you're going to have somebody responding in a short period of time, it's worth it to spend a little more money during the year on your taxes to have that issue. Because, you know, if you're there and you're in, they can't get there fast enough to save your life, you're going to wish you'd paid it. So that, to me, is very important.
If I might make just one comment. The EMS system that we have in place in the county today absolutely reflects the fact the fire departments are in position.
Yes.
Within a 5-minute general response time. That system, if that were not in place, our ambulance rates would be horrific.
Oh,
I
know.
If you wanted to have the coverage that we currently have today.
I've experienced that myself.
Yeah, because somebody, you know, when it comes to an EMS call, needs to be on scene quickly. And that person, with fire stations as they're located, is currently best to be a well-trained firefighter, EMT, and that's the system that we have right now. It's a really good system. We're really proud of it here in the county, and it's a model that many counties, we initiated this system about 15 years ago, and it's a model that many counties throughout California follow today, so we're proud of it.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of the problems, too, trying to get additional funding with the fire department, you know, going out for grants and things like that are kind of drying up. And that's another problem that they have, trying to get extra funding. And then, you know, we tighten down the management and that type of thing. There's a whole lot of different areas that need to be taken care of, but it's just a matter of money. And, you know, if it's going to cost me another $25 a year or $50 a year, $100 a year, to have know somebody's going to respond, it's more than well worth it.
Anybody else?
Second that.
Then relax and I'll see if there's anybody else who wants to make comment, public comment.
Hi, Cynthia Replogle again. First, it seems like there are a lot of clear advantages for waiting on this and pushing it out beyond the November ballot. I think it's important that the community have the fullest and best information, and we don't have that available for them right now. And when the time comes, it's important to have some sort of town hall or community forum where people can ask questions and have them answered. Director Colwell is not the first person who's asked me, why don't we just change the system to something different, because most of the time they're not fighting fires. They're doing other emergency services. To that end, I think that the resolution, the whereas statements, need a little bit of work to emphasize more that this is not just for fire services, it's for emergency services. There's a couple of things I noted in here. It talks about, this is due in part in the second whereas, to the continued decline of the existing reserve program. It's not really clear to me what that means, a decline in the reserve program. I think that means a decline in participation, but I'm not sure about that. And then down in the last whereas, providing aggressive fire and emergency services. I'm not sure aggressive is the best word. Maybe adequate, sufficient, supportive. And accomplish both victim rescue and property conservation. This starts to be a list of what its services are provided, but it doesn't emphasize the other emergency services that are being provided by our fire department. So I'd urge you to work on that language a little bit. And then lastly, may I ask a question concerning Director Brunet's announcement? I didn't have an opportunity to comment on that before.
Yeah.
Is there a process for filling his seat since he's stepping down now, or does it remain vacant for almost half a year until the election?
I can answer that. The seat will be open for the general election in November.
So there'll just be four members until
There'll be two 4-year terms and one 2-year term.
Okay, but his seat will just be vacant for the rest of the time
yes.
until the
yes.
election?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that the way it's...
Yeah, until... There's no appointment process.
No.
That's my understanding, but we can double-check with the county clerk, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I think so.
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. So one thing I wanted to mention when Mr. Colwell was talking about the fire authority and local control and that they wouldn't listen. I go to Arroyo City Council meetings sometimes, and they feel equally aggrieved. So, you know, maybe that's just how it is, and that maybe the fire authority is just a work in progress. So, and even though there can be problems, at least we have equal standing to argue any point that we can stand up for ourselves, whereas I think with CAL FIRE we would not have that opportunity. And then as far as giving up power to CAL FIRE, that really concerns me. I know our local firefighters know where every building and outhouse in the area is, and how do we know that CAL FIRE will hire local? I mean, we don't know that. And then do we know that they will maintain a certain level of service? And it doesn't seem like the service with Napomo being the closest fire station, that doesn't seem adequate to me. And so I'm kind of in favor of the 2020 vote and taking the long view and really educating the public, maybe putting up a sign like Arroyo did with the Briscoe Interchange Overpass. They had a bunch of big signs and, you know, the email address and phone numbers to give their opinion and ask questions, et cetera. And then maybe emphasize that if they don't vote for a tax, you know, then Napomo is the alternative, and that should scare people, I think. So I'm willing to kind of take the long view and wait for some of the moving parts to stabilize, and then at that point we have a better idea of how much money and what we're looking at. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing no one else.
I'm looking for a...
Well, I don't think we need to look for anything.
Are we going to make a motion like for the you know, to not do something or to...
Yeah, you do not need to make a motion to not do something. again, our existing direction is, you know,
well,
the negotiations...
Take no action and continue. Like both the speakers, I agree wholeheartedly with what they said and with what I think our board.
I think we've all said
kind of concur
thing.
That it's too early. You know, it's way too early to try to put something like this on the on the ballot with all the unknowns. And we definitely need to have lots of outreach. We need time to get the community, hear from all the community, and make them fully aware of all the pros and cons of, you know, not having our local. Going out to do something else, so I think we'll just continue what we were
doing. And our community outreach efforts will in part start with Category 5's work on the local hazard mitigation plan. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be able to do outreach for a number of different efforts, combined our water infrastructure efforts, local hazard mitigation plan. So hopefully we're targeting August at the community center and at Oceano Elementary School. Nicole's been helping and starting to coordinate some of those efforts. So certainly in the near future, we'll start community outreach on our emergency services.
Okay. Moving on to 10B, consideration of a recommendation to adopt a resolution approving the fiscal year 2018-29 preliminary budget and the fiscal year 1928-29 appropriations limit, and to set August 22, 2018 as the date for a public hearing to consider the adoption of the 2018-2019 final budget. Yay.
Madam President, I might ask or beg for a short biology break.
You bet. You got it. Continue. We'll come back at 8 o'clock.
No.
No.
10 to 8.
I said
8 o'clock. You give us 20 minutes.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Takes me a long time.
10 to 8.
Hey, I just have been totally out of it today. Call the meeting back to order at 10 minutes after 8. Moving on to 10B, which now I've lost that. Yes. 10B, consideration of recommendation to adopt resolution approving the fiscal year 2018-19 preliminary budget and fiscal year 2019-18 appropriations limit and to set August 22, 2018 as the date for the public hearing to consider the adoption of the 2018-2019 final budget.
Madam President, members of the board, today's action is for the consideration of the two-year preliminary budget for 18-19 and for 19-20. want to check something real quick because let's see. Do you have a copy of the agenda?
Yes.
I lost my place on it.
I'll find it again. The agenda. Yeah, I got that.
You need the budget stuff. It's all.
Here's what I need. Well, that's the audit. That's the audit.
Okay. Madam President,
yes.
Members of the board, we had intended to notice this as a hearing for a two-year budget. The agenda item, actually, the description is only for the 2018-2019 preliminary budget. So as a result, we need to stay strictly to the adoption of a one-year budget at this point in time. We have information on a second-year budget, but we can only interpret that as being anecdotal information. Projections for the second year, but we have to make sure to keep the formal action as to the only the adoption of the 2018-19 preliminary budget, and that's totally fine. There's
okay.
No worries about that.
Yeah.
So with that said, in following up on the budget workshop, which was a special meeting at the end of May, the modifications that have been incorporated into the budget is we now have a better understanding of some of the changes that might result from the negotiations with SEIU, and we've done our best job of providing estimates of some of those factors, even though that agreement still has yet to be ratified, and it could still change somewhat because it hasn't gone through final approval, but we've developed our best estimates associated with that. We've discussed the fire budget. I wasn't really inclined to getting into details associated with the fire budget. It's predominantly driven by Five Cities Fire Authority and what your board adopted in the MOA. Overall, page 124, and I'll give a minute for everybody to take a look at that. 124 shows the estimated changes in reserves in 2018-19, and then again shows estimated changes in reserves in 2019-20. The important point with respect to estimated increases or decreases in reserves in 18-19 is that your board doesn't formally act on reserves until the final budget is approved. Prior to September 1st, I think, a couple months. And the idea is we close out the books and the accounting for the current fiscal year. We figure out what kind of savings are associated with it. If your board wants to dedicate any of those savings to specific reserve purposes, those are the issues we take up in August. That at this point in time, what we're doing is presenting to you the preliminary budget for your approval, which sets the revenue and the expenditure plan. But again, final reserves are done during the final budget deliberation after we close out the current fiscal year. What I wanted to do today is to really focus in on the water fund, because during the budget workshop, and as illustrated on page 124, the sewer fund, the garbage fund, the equipment fund, the facilities fund are still running pretty consistent with the current year, although especially sewer has some benefits associated with the reallocation of administrative costs. But the focus that I wanted to again provide tonight is really about the water fund. And so Carrie and I worked a little bit some more after the workshop in order to provide this analysis that I handed out, and there's copies available for the public as well, as to what are the variables that have caused the water fund to change. And so I just want to make sure everybody's clear on this handout right here. And what we do is we walk through the current fiscal year's water fund budgeted expenditures of just a little bit over $2.4 million versus next year's proposed budgeted expenditures of $2.674 million, or an increase of about $273,000. So there's increases associated with labor, services, and supplies, but a lot of it is the adjustment of our indirect costs, our admin allocation costs, and indirect costs associated with the field crews. And what happens in this 18-19 budget, it creates additional challenges in explaining it, because it's not simply we're proposing certain costs are going to increase, but we're also shifting costs. Why are we shifting costs associated with the admin allocations? And it's because over the last several years and since I've been engaged with the district, the water fund was paying 45% of the cost and the sewer fund was paying 40% of the indirect cost, as if the level of effort that we put forward in the water fund is about the same as the sewer fund. And clearly that's not the case. So we've known for the last couple years that we need to make these formal modifications. And the purpose of the budget adjustment and the admin cost allocations that Carrie went through earlier tonight was because effectively we have started to make those changes, and so we needed to have your board approve. Well, this is a year in 18-19 then where we formalize in the budget those actual changes in methodology. Inherent in the budget then, how did we come up with the new percentages where we have water at 60%, sewer at 30%, and then our other funds like fire and lighting, whatever, you know, use the rest of the percentages. And when we looked at the direct labor costs of our field crews and actually exerting, you know, time in terms of maintenance of the systems, it was closer to 65%, 35% when we just compared water and sewer. When we looked at administrative efforts, clearly, the administrative efforts associated with the water fund are greater. The utility billing functions itself. Every single billing period, we have to calculate bills for water, but they're always the same for sewer. Granted, we still need to send out bills for both water and sewer, so there are certain costs that you just sort of say are 50-50. And we also have administrative costs associated with sewer. The sewer system management plan is one that requires both field crews as well as office staff to work through on the administrative side. But those direct labor costs associated with the field crews, I felt like is a very good indication of the level of effort overall. So, you know, the new percentages that we're proposing with 60% water and 30% sewer, I think really is much more fair. In indirect cost allocations, there is never a perfect methodology. Just like right now, we're spending more time on Five Cities Fire Authority, and yet the Fire Fund only pays about 4% of our indirect costs. Well, that's because year after year after year, we might not do anything, you know, administratively associated with Five Cities Fire other than process a couple of fireworks permits for fireworks stands, which we get reimbursed from those the concessionaires anyhow. And that's the nature of indirect cost allocations, that you do your best job of estimating the percentages over a long period of time, recognizing that in some years you're going to, you know, administratively we'll put forth a greater level of effort for something like Five Cities Fire. And in other years, it's going to be less. And over the period of time, indirect cost allocations should average out and work pretty well. It's also why I didn't jump at when I first got hired, even though the percentages seemed a little bit odd to me. Didn't jump at modifying those percentages right away because we had other things that we needed to focus on. And again, indirect cost allocations are best if applied over a longer period of time. We don't really want to change them every single year. So the water fund is good to focus on because it is going to be, as proposed in the budget, bearing a higher cost associated with the indirect cost allocations. But then we have base costs that are increasing as well. And so I just wanted to sort of step through them. And the first column that is boxed in with a bold box is that budgetary comparison from last year or the current year to next year's proposed. And then the second column is really the discretion that your board has, because there are structural components to the budget, but then there's also some additions that we had recommended during the workshop, and we've included them. So when it comes to the waterfront, the increase in our labor cost total is $15,205. And I'll make sure that, again, that's the first number that pops up in that first column, that box. That's, and that $15,205, though, has four different components in it. The first component is the new positions and the base salaries that would be allocated to water with the new positions, and those being the district engineer slash assistant general manager, as well as the operator in training. The second point is salary progression and cost of living adjustments. And what I mean by salary progressions is that in the current MOU, the annual salary increase for staff is based on the consumer price index. But also, as is typical in governmental agencies, there's a step progression. So people don't get hired at their top step. And instead, you might get hired at step one or two. And as you move through your salary range, there's either a 2.5% increase for your step increase, or there's a 5%. At some point in time, you top out. And then after that, the individuals only get the cost of living adjustments. And that whole step arrangement is intended to recognize that new employees will come in and they have to go through their learning curve. And as over time, as they learn the job and become more efficient, and more productive, then they get the higher rate in pay. So I say salary progression and cost of living adjustments is that $18,500. And then the change in the indirect cost methodology reduces our direct labor costs in, or our labor costs in the water fund by $75,615, which is also a number you see down further on the page where it's an increase. That $75,615 is now allocated on an indirect cost methodology rather than a direct cost. What are those types of costs? It's predominantly things like vacation time, sick time, because how do we charge vacation and sick time to the water fund or the sewer fund? And the appropriate methodology is we pool those accounts. And so Kerry's established the administrative budget with these new indirect cost allocations where we take that dollar amount right now, the $75,615 that used to be charged out through labor, goes into the indirect cost pool for field crews in the admin budget and then gets allocated out based on direct labor charges, not direct labor hours, right? Direct dollars, yeah, labor charges. So it means if the water fund ends up incurring 65% of the direct labor costs, then the water fund will pay for 65% of those indirect labor costs. And then I've got a little rounding error because in these types of big picture analysis, and you have so many different moving parts, it's a little bit difficult to nail down the exact dollar amount. So we got it pretty close. So again, the labor budget of water is going up about $15,000, but it also indicates a significant shift of certain labor costs that are going into the indirect cost pool and then the costs associated with new positions. Services and supplies, excluding state water, is the easiest one because there's no indirect costs associated with it. Our basic inflationary adjustments are about 2.9%. Consumer price index went up about 3.5% last year. But we are budgeting for more funding of the Santa Maria groundwater basin litigation simply because we know that the activity, the case management conferences, and the hearings associated with the Santa Maria groundwater basin litigation is increasing. The next category is now shows the increase in the admin allocation. So the base change in the percentage of 45% to 60% would increase the water fund's cost by $117,000. And that's if everything else in the 17-18 budget stayed exactly the same in the 18-19 budget. That's just the pure numbers of switching from the water fund pays 45% of admin allocations to the water fund paying for 60% of the admin allocations. And then there's also some base increase in the administrative costs that are incorporated into the proposed budget. One is the new administrative position, including benefits, although they're not full benefits. That's the permanent part-time. Currently, we have a temporary part-time, and so that would be about $30,000. The next line is called the highest salary assumption, and what we've done so far in the last several years is we've estimated salaries based on that step that everybody is in their, you know, whether the third step or the fourth step or the sixth step. And this highest salary assumption, we estimated the budget assuming everybody was at the top level. Because at some point in time, we needed to make that transition. If everybody's not at the top level, and that's going to be the case, then we're going to expect some salary savings there. But to have a structural or a budget says, okay, what's the highest level of salary that somebody in a position might make? So there is a what's called the highest salary assumption in there of $30,000. And again, I would immediately expect that we would see some, that would transpire into budget savings during the year. And then the inflationary adjustments associated with the basic administrative budget, again, would be about $20,000. So the percentage changes, $117,000. The combination of new admin positions, higher salary assumptions, inflationary adjustments is about $80,000. I would expect in reality is that's going to be closer to about $50,000. But those two combined increase the admin allocation to the water fund of $197,000. And then the last, you know, that multi, the effect of multiple things going on is on the field crew indirect cost allocations. And again, we were finding that over the last 3 years, the field crew is spending about 64% of their time on the water budget. And by rather than the old methodology of just arbitrarily trying to say how much a standby goes to water versus how much standby goes to sewer or the various benefits, the indirect cost methodology will take those indirect costs of the field crew and allocate them to each of the operating funds in proportion to direct cost of the field crew, where they're actually charging their time. That change in methodology has the effect of increasing water fund costs by $75,615, which is an increase there, but it was also the decrease in the direct labor charges because we're not charging it through direct labor anymore. We're charging it through the indirect cost pool. So, you know, in turn, that's sort of an equal and offset when you compare labor versus the indirect cost allocations. But then we do have some base increases as well. The paid leave and benefits for new positions is estimated at $57,000. That's a little bit on the high side because the health insurance, we're assuming 9 months of employment. We look back, we actually calculated 12 months of insurance for the new employee. It's a few thousand dollars, but it's definitely a little bit on the high side. And the other thing is when we look at comparing those paid leave and benefits to the salaries for new employees as they hit, it seems like it's a higher percentage, but again, that includes all their paid time off, vacation time, sick leave, and whatnot. Health benefits, the highest assumption, not all employees. You know, our benefits, our health benefits are dependent on if an employee is single and just covering themselves, single and one dependent, or single with two, just single, or plus one, or plus two or more. So we have this tiered health benefit program, and incorporated into the budget is we're assuming everybody's at the highest. That's not going to happen, but that highest assumption has a factor of about 16,500. Pension costs, about $77.50. We're fortunate that pension costs for the district are not rising nearly as fast as what we see in other types of communities. We're also fortunate we don't have the post-retirement health benefits that are rising pretty fast for other communities. So the pension costs overall are factored in, but they aren't singularly as big of an issue as some of the other communities are seeing. And then again, a little bit of rounding in order to complete the analysis. So in total, the change in methodology is a $75,000 impact, but with the new crew, with the new proposed positions, there's 79, and the total increase to the water budget on these field crew indirect cost allocations is about 154. And then we have some savings. The reduction in the state water budget is going down $132,000 to $925,000 a year. And we feel confident in that because we're now seeing, you know, a few years of good history on that, and the bills seem to be pretty stable. We had a little decrease in other of $2,875, and that's a combination of your board approved, and we paid in full the 1979 revenue bonds that were costing us $18,750 a year or so, but we've also budgeted about $15,000 for claims and adjustments, because what we've found with all these fire hydrants that are getting hit and other types of damages, we're doing our best job of getting reimbursement when somebody damages our facilities, but the bottom line, we're incurring costs, and some of them to try to chase down is costing us more than the reimbursement. So we factored in $15,000 basically on, you know, claims or other damages that we incur that we're not going to, you know, most likely won't get reimbursed on, or where the cost of trying to get reimbursed far exceeds the amount that we would actually get reimbursed. It's one of those things you don't want to spend a dollar to chase a dime. And then again, another. So that column summarizes the increase from $2.4 million to $2.674 million. And then the next column that's bolded is even a better summary. I mean, a more condensed summary of it, where what is it that with these new positions and other activities, you know, the board's discretion. So the new positions-based salaries of $73,500, the new admin position including benefits of $30,000, and some of the other paid leave and benefits for new positions of $57,000, those charges add up to the water fund of $160,500. The change in admin allocation percentages is $117,000. I would strongly continue to encourage your board to approve the changes in the admin allocation percentages simply because they're clearly more equitable between the water fund and the sewer fund. That $117,000 doesn't cost the community any money, though, because they're either paying for it in the water fund or they're paying it for it in the sewer fund. So that's not a, you know, it's an impact on the water fund, but there's savings elsewhere in the other funds. So those new positions, the effect on the water fund is $160,500. The changes in the admin allocations is $117,000. What I'm describing as our significant cost increases are then $277,500. We do have programmed in the consumer, the CPI index for the increase in water revenues, and so those will help offset some of those cost increase. And that's projected at almost $75,000, which means that the net increase in the budget estimates is about $202,000, or the water fund deficit for next year at $220,000. Again, part of it is the change in admin cost allocations, and then the new positions is all about transitioning into the new organization for the district, anticipating that, you know, my retirement is not that far off in the future, and we need to start working some transition. But that's really where your board has some, you know, discretion is, do we want to start working that transition, which I encourage earlier, and make sure that we have overlap, that I can work with the new individual who would be anticipated to then take the reins, And then the other benefit that we talked about at the workshop is to really be able to move forward with our deferred infrastructure program by bringing in that engineer. We've gotten a lot of grant money in order to move forward with our deferred infrastructure program, and next year's budget is part of the district's commitment to put forth labor and efforts as well. And so those comments combined with the workshop concludes my discussion, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Nope. Extremely clear. I could even follow it. Do we have any? I suppose we ought to ask for public comment. Nobody's interested. Anything else? Well, then I entertain a resolution. A motion.
What's that?
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve the 2018-2019 preliminary budget and the attached resolution to determining the 2018-2019 appropriations limitation, as well as set August 22nd, 2018 as the date for a public hearing for our board to consider adoption of the 2018-2019 final budget.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Call for a roll call vote, please.
Director Bernay?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Colwell?
Yes.
Vice President Austin?
Yes.
President White?
Yes. Okay. I think it's very interesting the way the budget has changed in the last 3 or 4 years, and how far we've improved it as far as from there, one sheet of paper at one point in time, I believe.
There is definitely a sequencing of how to address, you know, a district that had the budget challenges that existed 4 years ago. You know, part of it is just make sure it's stabilized and take it one step at a time and make the different adjustments that are necessary, and then set us up to be able to move forward with deferred infrastructure and get the rest of the job done that we have to get done.
Yeah.
But the only other thing I want to say, too, is I'm glad, you know, we've repeated it, a few different times over the past year and a half. The little different steps that we've been taking, you know, specifically it's staff that's having to take, you know, to kind of write some things that not necessarily were wrong, per se, and maybe they were, but in other ways just weren't done in the best way. So making those sort of changes to the budget, while it does affect it, it's more consistent with the truth, and I think that that's, you know, that sort of, you know, being transparent and accountable for what we do, I think is good.
Well, certainly anybody that wanted to know anything about our funding, our expenditures, what we're doing, could find it in this budget. Mm-hmm. Down to the penny. Yes. Okay, moving on. Any written communications or late written communications?
I did hand out some late received written communications that I received today from Tammy Bazance with the County Clerk's Office, reminding all elected officials that received a stipend of over $200 a month to you have a campaign statement 470 for last calendar year. That's due July 31st, 2018. And as always, Nicole is available to help with, you know, compliance with those requirements.
It seems like we do this about 12 times a year.
I don't think we've ever done this one, 470.
This is late received communication, so I'm not really prepared to talk about the details associated with this. There might be some exemptions that you don't have to file, but again, it came from the county clerk, so I wanted to make sure to notify all the board members, and I'll be following up with Jeff in order to make sure that I understand the details of it as well.
Thank you. And moving on to future agenda items. I think they all...
Well, we're going to come back at some point with the place, but...
Oh, yeah.
Construction documents. Is that for the airport?
Because it has to be adopted by the committee. So we're just doing it on the this year.
Construction documents, are they for 13th Street, for the airport bridge, or for our water?
Well, we have two. The thing that we have to come back with, so the county is reinvigorating the efforts associated with the 13th Street Highway 1 drainage project. They're hoping to go out to bid this fall. They still have to secure some additional grant revenues. But we need to put that on the horizon, that construction project is around the corner as well. We have had that budgeted previously, and we continue to include it in our encumbrances and roll it forward. So, but yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
President White, before we adjourn,
yes.
Getting close to adjourning.
Yes. I would be happy to give
floor for just a,
yes.
Just
yes.
A minute.
Yes.
Maybe a few, because I'm usually pretty long-winded, but. First off, I just want to say, again, regarding my resignation after the adjournment of this meeting, I want to say first thank you to the citizens of Oceana that entrusted me with this seat for the past year and a half. It's been one of the greatest highlights, definitely, of my life. The opportunity to be able to serve with each and every one of you has been phenomenal, and even though we don't necessarily always agree or you know, with everything, I think what really set us up was that really cool and awesome California Special District Association mm-hmm. seminar that we all went to. And that we still, although we function individually, it still is a team, you know, and a team is a board. And I think it's been, I think we've done really well. And I encourage you guys with what's going to continue to happen. And I know we got challenges, but... I think that this district is getting to that place. I don't know if the California Special District Association has, like, a special district of the year, but, man, I'm really thinking Oceano's getting to that point that we would be in the running for that. And so I'm excited. And, again, I want to thank staff and legal counsel as well. Thank you so much. And it's been great. So and I do apologize that it is leaving the board one hole here for a time being, but, again, it was important to me to give this vote back to the people as quickly as possible. So with that, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for serving. And you can come back sometime.
Absolutely.
You're still staying in town, right?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
How
about
you?
Well, yep. I just want to say it's been a real pleasure. I'm really going to miss you. Sorry to see you go, but I hope to see you around still. Come around.
Yeah.
We'd definitely miss you, Andrew.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
For one. And I see agenda addendum material. Is that just routine?
That was just the audit. That
okay.
was
That's
the
okay.
attachment.
I just wanted to make sure
audit.
Before I propose an adjournment.
Well, I wanted to also mention it's been great working with you, Andrew. You know, if I have any problems with any of the other board members or whoever comes on the board, I'll go, well, Andrew would have.
Andrew would never have.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, what would Andrew do?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And also, you know, recognizing congratulations on, you know, how your work and everything has been going.
Yeah, your job. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's been exciting. Yeah, it really has.
Went from a job to a career.
Yeah.
That's great.
Come a long way over the past 2 years. So.
Could I ask one brief question?
Yes.
He's got some committee assignments.
Yeah, we'll have that on the next agenda.
Thank you. Yeah. We get to draw lots, and who gets to?
Lots.
Do I
move we adjourn?
I'll second that.
Moving adjourned.
Good time.
Thank you.
Good for you.